Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Redden. I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled Building a Custom Workflow. Now, in the last lesson, we went over all the concepts of modules and workflows. What we're going to do now is use those concepts to build some of the custom workflows for our sample application. We'll use the monitoring script that we created a couple of lessons ago. So this lesson is going to be mostly demo, as we walk through creating a pretty significant amount of logic. But I do have a few slides to help you picture what's going on here and what it is we're going to create. One of the difficulties with this kind of development is you can get so caught up in the implementation, the XML and all that syntax, that you tend to forget the logic of what you're creating. And so hopefully in the next few slides, I can help you picture what this is, which actually can help a lot with the logic. Now what we're going to create here sounds pretty simple. We want a rule and a monitor. We have that central processor class in our sample application, and it hosts a class for the queues. The script we wrote a couple of lessons ago collects a number of statistics for those queues, including the total number of queue entries, and we refer to that as file count in the property bag the script generated. So we want a rule to collect the number of queue entries as performance data, and a monitor that sets a threshold on the queue entries. But to do that, we need some custom modules first. Now, as I already mentioned, we already have our script, and we can use the script we wrote a couple of lessons ago with no change. There's no need to go back over that. If you're not sure about that one, you can go back and have a look at that. I talked all through what information we're collecting and how we're generating a property bag from that script. But there's a module that's in the Windows library called PowerShell Property Bag, and that's a probe action module. I've just shortened the name here. But as long as we give that module a script, as well as parameters, and there's some other information that we need to give to the module. We'll see that when we actually build it. But as long as we give it the script to run and other information that it might need, then it's going to go ahead, run that script, and send us out a property bag. But just that probe action isn't enough. We actually have some other modules that we're going to need to create around that. So the first thing that we're actually going to create is a new probe action module in our management pack. We're going to call all queues statistics. Now remember, I think I mentioned before I'm using all queues here because later on in some upcoming lessons, we're going to have a script that collects information for each individual queue, and there's actually some specific considerations we're going to have to make. That's why we're going to say all queues through everything here. But this is our own probe action module that's basically just going to contain this other one, this module that's already in the libraries for us in order to run that script. Now the module that we create is going to have a single parameter on it called folder. And if you remember, we had in our script, we had a parameter that accepted the top level folder of where our queues were stored, because it's just in the file system. And so for when I have a probe that's going to run that script, I need some way to give the probe the information to pass on to the script. So I'm going to define a parameter on the module called folder that we accept that value in. Our probe is also going to return a property bag. We're not going to change the output of that library probe module at all. Okay, but of course remember when I mentioned back in the last lesson we create monitors and rules, we need data source modules. And right now all I have is a probe. So the next thing we're going to do is create a property bag module called all queue statistics property bag. And that module will contain the probe action module in addition to a scheduler module. Now the scheduler module is a data source that's in, I believe it's the system library, but it's definitely one of the libraries, very, very common module to use. All that module does, if I give it two parameters, interval seconds and sync time, what interval seconds says is the number of seconds to run, basically to send a trigger. So if I give it, say, 300, it's going to run every 5 minutes and basically kick off the next module in the workflow. What sync time refers to is a number of minutes after the hour. So for instance, if I gave it a sync time of 5, it would ensure 5 minutes after the hour. So if say it was at a 10-minute interval at 5 after the hour, run it 5 minutes after, 15 minutes after, etc. And the reason that we use sync time is basically if you have many different workflows on the same schedule, all running say every 10 minutes, then we can use sync time to stagger them so they don't run at an identical time, things like that. We're not going to worry about sync time. It's an optional parameter, but it's one that I definitely should mention because you're going to see it so often. We're primarily just going to worry about interval seconds. So basically, we'll give it some value to run on a periodic basis, and at that interval, it's going to send out a trigger. Remember, we talked about triggers in the last lesson, and that trigger will kick off that probe module, which runs our script. Okay, and again, we won't change the output any. We're going to go ahead and take that property bag. So our data source module will also return a property bag. Now, the parameters we're going to have to put on our data source are going to be those three, which is interval seconds, sync time, and folder. Basically, what we'll do is we can have a workflow, calls this property bag, provides values for each of those three parameters, and then within the module, it's going to use those parameters for the other modules that it contains. Okay, now what's important here to note is this data source module, all it's going to see is the scheduler and the all queue statistics probe. It has no idea that there's a script under there. It doesn't know. It doesn't care. All it knows is if we give it a folder name, it's going to output a property bag that we need. Okay, and so as we start to build this, where I keep building up modules and then wrapping another module around it, each one essentially becomes a black box. So if I say have a rule now that wants to use this data source module I've just created, all it knows is I give it interval seconds, sync time, and folder, I get back a property bag. Couldn't care less of all the complex inner workings of what that module is doing. Just like we have no idea how that scheduler module is working. All we know is we give it a time, it's going to fire off that trigger that we want. Okay? But now if you think about the rule and monitor that I mentioned, I said I wanted to collect that rule as performance data. Right now I have a property bag. So let's create one more module, which wraps all of that up. We'll call it all queue statistics performance, and we'll give it a data generic mapper module. That's a condition detection module. Remember that one of the functions of a condition detection is to accept data in as one format and output as another format. So in this case, it's going to accept the property bag and output performance data. But to output that performance data, it requires four pieces of information from us: object, counter, instance, and value. If you think of any piece of performance data, those are its four distinct characteristics. So we're actually going to map information from the property bag to those different values for the counter, the instance, and the value. And we'll actually see that when we build it. So for our data source to run, it's going to need interval seconds, sync time, folder, and the counter. Okay, and so it can pass those to the modules that it contains. Now, all it's going to see is that property bag. It's going to say, hey, you need interval seconds, sync time, and folder. I'll give you that. We're going to have to give it a counter for the data generic mapper, because when you consider performance data really is only one counter. We had multiple different types of values coming out of our script. Remember, we had file count, I think we had the oldest file, and we had the total size. So this, when we map to the performance data, we need to tell it which of those values we're interested in. So if we have our rule that's calling this performance data source module, then it's going to be able to tell it which counter. Now, what's interesting about this is let's say I wanted to create another rule and said I want to collect the total size. I could use this exact same module and pass it a different counter name, right, using the same script. Everything else would stay the same. And so those are some things we'll absolutely see, because there are definitely some details that you need to understand in order to do exactly what I'm talking about. So this is actually represents what we're going to build. Now again, and the reason I wanted to show this graphically is once we actually start getting into authoring extensions and get down to the XML, you get very wrapped up into that. And it will really help to back up and really understand this logic that we're building here, because this kind of graphical nature we're not going to see when we actually start building. Now, one question you might have at this point is, remember, I mentioned that a module can contain any number of other modules. In this case, I've kind of kept each module fairly simple. There's only maybe a couple of modules within them. I actually could have done this. This would have exactly the same functionality. Absolutely no difference. It would be no more efficient. It would be no less efficient. I'd call this performance module. I'd hand it those four parameters, and I would get back performance data. The difference being I did not create a specific module for the property bag. Instead, I just took that, the map to perf module, and I put that basically as three modules within the performance instead of doing this where we broke them up. Now, the reason that I did it this way is because doing it this way, I have no way to get a property bag if I want. Let's say later on, after I've already implemented this, everything's working great, then I have some new requirement for my management pack. I want to add some new workflow. But for that, I don't want performance data. I wanted a property bag back. Right here, I have no way to do it. I would have to go back down and create a new set of modules in order to get to the property bag. If I do this, then I absolutely can use that one. And so this is what you're going to tend to see. If you open up all of the managed pack libraries and other managed packs that you see, you'll tend to see a lot of modules. And most of those modules will be fairly simple. At the most, typically you're going to see maybe three different modules within them. And the reason for that is this is typically how they're built, is one module wraps up a couple and then that one gets wrapped up by another one. And so now I'm actually going to use in our rule and our monitor, I'm going to use the performance one and the property bag one just to really drive this home and also to just to show some things of how they're used a little bit different. Okay, so that answers our modules. Now let's talk about the workflows we're going to build. So first, we have that rule. Okay, and remember I said a rule is is one or more data sources, zero or one condition detection, and one or more write actions. So my data source module, I just said I'm going to use that all queue statistics performance. What about my condition detection? Now one strategy that I could have used was this, where I said I'm going to take that property bag module that I created, I'm going to do the data generic mapper as my condition detection, that's exactly the same one that I used in my module, and this would work for my rule. That would result in the identical functionality as doing this. But this is what I'm going to use. In fact, my rule is not going to have a condition detection at all. I'm just going to go ahead and use that performance module. Now again, the reason for that is exactly the same as I was talking before. A rule gets one condition detection at most. So let's say later on, I decided I needed a little bit more functionality, that I needed to add a condition detection to this rule. Right now I have the ability to do that. If I were to do this strategy, I'm pretty much locked in. So this again is typically the strategy that you're going to see when you start building your own modules, is we'll tend to put as much functionality as we can in the modules themselves and then simplify the workflows as much as we can, just because that gives us the most flexibility. So this is what we'll have. We'll have a data source module, which is that queue statistics performance. We will have no condition detection module. And then we're going to use two write action modules. One is collect performance data, the other is publish performance data. One writes to the operations manager database, one writes to the data warehouse. Both of those just accept performance data. We hand a performance data, they'll go ahead and collect it. Okay, so that's our rule. Now our monitor, remember I mentioned monitors are easy. I don't even have a slide for the monitor. The monitor is going to be the fastest thing we're going to create. The monitor type is what's interesting. And the monitor type, remember, is what contains the rules and the logic that the monitor is going to be built on. Now monitor types, one or more data sources, zero or more probe actions, one or more condition detections, and these can happen in any order. Has to start with the data source, but once that happens, any combinations of probes and condition detections. I could have probe, condition detection, probe, condition detection, probe, whatever combination I need. In reality, as I've been saying all along, you're usually going to see a data source and a condition detection because we typically will take all of that logic and build it up into the modules. Now, the other thing to consider with monitor types, remember, I need this workflow for each health state. In this case, we're going to build a three-state monitor type. So we're going to have a workflow for each of the three states. And so when you think, the more complex that I make that workflow, I'm pretty much going to have to replicate that two more times, right? So as much as I can put into that data source, so much the better. So this is what our monitor type is going to look like. We're actually going to use the property bag, as I mentioned before. For the monitor type, it really makes no difference which one I use. And the main reason I use the property bag is just because I wanted to illustrate how we refer to a property bag, how we build our data variables a little different than when we're using performance data, so it gives us a chance to illustrate that. Then I'm going to have three condition detections. All system expression filters, and we've worked with expression filter quite a bit up till now, you just maybe didn't know it. Remember, all this does is sees if a condition occurred. So basically, the property bag is going to send out a value for a file count. The first one there, the under threshold, is going to say, does the file count, is it lower than the specified threshold? Over warning is going to say, is that over our warning threshold, but under our error threshold? The error one is going to say, is it over the error threshold? Now, our challenge, or the requirement that we have, is we have to make sure that we have mutually exclusive criteria that we give those. In other words, every single time that property bag gets delivered, one and only one of those expressions should resolve to true. Now, it's important to keep in mind here that what I'm showing is a very, very typical structure of a monitor type. Single data source that they're all going to use, and then separate expression filter for each health state. But it probably would be a little bit more accurate if I showed a separate property bag there for each of the three, because remember, these are three distinct workflows that are all running. Now, as I'll talk about, this is a little bit of an intro to what we'll talk about when we get to cookdown later on, but for efficiency's sake, the way that Operations Manager is working is it's actually running one data source and then those three different workflows. So there's a little bit of sharing going on. So this is really how I'm used to doing that. But logically speaking, I won't get ahead of ourselves too much here. Logically speaking, each of these is going to be their own distinct workflow. And when we get to the monitor type, this will actually start making a lot more sense, and I'll start talking through exactly how all this gets implemented. So let's go ahead and let's start building. And here we are back in our management pack. Now, when we're working with modules and monitor types, we don't have templates at our disposal. So this is going to be completely XML work. Working on manage pack fragments, again, we can choose to break things up however we want. We've already been through that in the various lessons, mainly when we were working with classes and discoveries. And like we've seen so far, we're going to have IntelliSense to help us out in various areas. There are some places where we won't have IntelliSense, and I'll give some tips on where you can get the information that you need for that. And of course, like we've seen before, there's a whole lot of copying and pasting. So hopefully shouldn't be too difficult to follow here. So the first thing I'm going to do is say add new item. I'm going to say empty manage pack fragment, and I'm just going to call this modules. I'm just going to create all of our modules and monitor types in the same fragment here. And where modules live and where monitors types live is under type definitions. Okay, I think that's, as you saw before, that's also where classes live, but this is where we define type definitions and then module types. You'll see monitor types down there that we'll create in a little bit when we do our monitor. Okay, your module types, just space things out a little bit. And the first one we need to create is that probe module. So I'm going to say probe action module. And as I mentioned before, we're going to call this mpauthor.stores.probe.allQueuesStatistics. All right, the only other property we really need on this one is accessibility, which is internal. And thing to keep in mind here, many of your modules will be internal. So remember, we're going to create a module and then wrap it in another module, wrap it in another module, and then may use it in a workflow. And very often the modules that we're creating are simply meant for workflows defined in the same MP. Obviously, if you needed to use it in another MP, then you'd mark it public. But the modules that it contains can still be internal. And so this is really standard practice is to start with them internal just because you give yourself a better ability to change those things later on and only mark them public if they're really required. But this does not, unlike when you're working with workflows, this does not stop the user from creating an override. They'd be able to create an override on a workflow that's based on this module. All right, so the first thing we have is the configuration. Now, the configuration for a module are basically, this is a list of the parameters that this module is going to have to accept in. Remember, we said there's one parameter for this module called folder. Now, I'm just going to paste this one in just so you see, stop me from making any typos. And of course, from this point, we'll just pretty much copy and paste from this one. We're going to have various different parameters we're going to have to add. And this is pretty straightforward. These are all XSD elements. Name of it is folder, as we mentioned before. It's going to take that folder that our script needs. Its type is string. We'll have some other examples, so we're going to change that integer, that sort of thing. And then basically this is a path to the definition for this data type. And so it's pretty standard. Every parameter you create is going to have that in it. And like I say, it's pretty much just a copy paste. So that's fairly straightforward for this one, just the one parameter. Then the next thing we need is module implementation. Now, I'll mention overridable parameters here. We're not going to set it. What this specifies here are those parameters that we've defined that we're going to allow an override for. So these are defined at the module level and at the monitor type level, where the user, we may have parameters that a module takes that we don't want to allow the user to override. If we think about it in this case, we're going to get that folder name from a property on the target of the workflow. That's not something we want the user to be able to override. When we get into doing things like how often the monitor is going to run, absolutely, those are overrides we want to provide to them. But overridable parameters are what you define as the author. This will not show up if they try to create an override on a workflow that uses this module. That this won't show up unless we specifically specify that the parameter can be overridden. And we'll absolutely create some of those in a bit, so we'll see how that's done. Okay, so the module implementation, what we're defining here, first off, is what type of module this is. As I mentioned, you're not going to pick native or managed. Everything that you're going to create is going to be composite. And the first thing for a composite is the member modules. Now, what we're saying here are, what are the other modules that this one is going to contain? Now, in this case, it's only one, so it's not overly exciting. We'll see others where we have multiple, but we're not specifying the order that they're going to run yet. We're simply saying, these are the modules that this one's going to use. We'll have another section below this where we do what we call the composition, where we say what order are those modules going to run in. Again, this one's just one, but we'll see in a moment. We'll see them with multiple, and we'll show the syntax for that. Okay, so this is going to contain one other module. It's a probe action module, as you recall. Now, the ID here, I'm going to call script. So let me just type out this line. Well, let me explain this here. Basically, the IDs that we've seen up until now have looked like this, where I say the ID has to be, we want to follow a naming scheme, it has to be unique. The ID when you're working within a module for just the member modules is only unique within this module itself. We'll actually use it in the composition section. You'll see in a moment where this is used. So it's fairly arbitrary. We tend to do simple IDs like DS for data source, that sort of thing. In this case, this is the module that's going to run the script. So I'm just calling it script. You can really call it whatever you want, and then just reuse the same name and composition. We're going to see this over and over. So the next is, what is the module that I'm going to use? Now, in this case, I'm going to get it from the Windows library, and you can see here a list of all the probe modules. Remember, a probe can't contain a data source module, so we're only given the probes here. These are all the ones that are in the Windows library. Now, you actually see several PowerShell ones here. The one that we want is PowerShell property bag trigger only probe. And just to explain this out, and we'll see in a bit, in just a moment, we're going to look at the Manager Pack browser and look at some of the definitions. Some of them are internal, meaning I can't use them. They're just simply modules meant to be wrapped up in other modules, kind of like I've been talking about. And the big difference really here between PowerShell property bag probe and trigger only probe, these both run a PowerShell script, they return a property bag. But remember when I mentioned that trigger only for a probe means that it doesn't require any incoming data. This is essentially all we need is a trigger. So in a moment, we're going to create a data source that has a scheduler module that will just send a trigger to kick off this module. And so what this says is we only require a trigger. If we select the other property bag probe, then this will be expecting some data coming in. And certainly some other scenarios where we need that. This is not one of those, so we use a trigger only. Okay. Now at this point, what we need to do is provide parameters, values for the parameters for this module. And you notice this is the place where we don't have IntelliSense. So what you need to know are, what are the parameters that this module requires? Now we saw this way back when we did discovery scripts. This one's very similar to the script discovery module. And I think I just, at that time, just typed them out and said, don't worry too much about what they are. But now that we're getting more into modules and they can make sense, let's go back and have a look at that. So if I go look at my Management Pack browser, I go here to the Windows library, let's have a look at that particular module. So here, here are all the probes. And of course, this should start to make a little bit more sense to you now if you've gone through the MantraPack browser and some of this stuff was cryptic. Now that we've had our conversation about modules, you can see here are the different module types. And there's the four that I talked about, data source, condition detection, probe, and write. So here are our probe modules. Okay, and you can see here that several here are internal. They're only meant to be wrapped up in other modules. And the one that we're particularly interested in is this PowerShell property bag trigger only probe, not probe based, probe. And you can see some things there. This will take a trigger only. Its output type is a property bag. There's no input type because it's not accepting any data in. But if you look down here at the definition, and now that we're starting to type out a module, you can see modules all look really, really similar. They're all going to have these sections that I'm doing, but you see here the module implementation, it's a composite, you see its member module. Here it takes this property bag trigger only probe base, which is this one up here. So now that even just a little bit that we've done so far, you actually should start to get to the point that you can actually read the modules that are in the different libraries. What I'm interested in here though are these, this is its configuration section. These are the parameters that this module requires. So while it's a little bit maybe difficult to read, I can only see I need a script name, script body. You see this one here, snap-ins. This is if the script requires any special snap-ins to be included with it. But notice this one here has a min occurs 0. In other words, this is an optional parameter, so I don't need to specify it. Anywhere you see that min occurs 0, then you're not, you can choose to leave off that parameter if you need to. Here's, of course, the parameter for parameter values for the script. This is also not required. If you had a script that had no parameters on it, you wouldn't need to provide the parameters section. I realize we're getting very redundant with the word parameter. It gets a little bit confusing sometimes. Okay, but this is a way to go back and find out, look up the module you're working with and see exactly the parameters that it requires, even though we don't have IntelliSense. All right, but I'll go ahead. I won't go back and forth here. I'll let you have a look at that on your own if you want to see all the other parameters there that are available. I'm going to go ahead and type them in. My script name is going to be all queue statistics. Sorry, just getting a little confused on my spelling there. This is just the name that is going to be created in the temp folder on the agent. Then we're going to have the script body. And I'm going to paste this in. This again, this is something we saw back in discovery scripts, but just so I don't make a typo, I'm going to paste that in. Remember, this is a special variable. It's really not a MantraPack variable. It's a Visual Studio Authoring Extensions variable. And this says just include the contents of this file. So what we're doing is bringing in the contents of this script here that we created back in that previous lesson. Okay, and that way we can manage the script separately outside of the modules that are using it. Okay, so then I'm going to type in parameters. And again, we saw these when we did the discovery script. But parameter, basically this is a parameter collection. In this case, we only have one. So I'm going to say, and every parameter is defined by a name and a value. In this case, the name was folder. Remember what this here is referring to is this right here. That's what it has to match with. All right, and then the value, I'm going to put config/folder. Now what this is, and I think I mentioned these for a brief moment earlier, but this is what we call a config variable. So what the config variable says simply is go back and get the value that was sent to this parameter. So this config folder here refers specifically to that parameter. So we're going to next create a data source module that's going to wrap up this probe module, and it will pass some value into the folder, into this parameter right here. And what we're saying is when we call this folder, take whatever value was sent in and put it there. All right, and this is something we're actually going to see quite a few config variables. They're very, very straightforward. So that isn't perfectly clear to you right now. It definitely will. This is as complex as they get. Config variables are the easiest ones that we have. Okay. Then the next thing I need is a timeout seconds. This just says if the script is running for this amount of time and still hasn't completed, we're going to go ahead and kill it. I'm going to put 2 minutes on that to actually run in a couple seconds. And that's it for member modules. Again, this is just one module, and all member modules is basically we just define each of the modules that are going to go inside of this one, and we provide values for each of their parameters. Next section we have is composition. Now this one's going to be, as I mentioned, this is just a single module, so it's node, and the ID is going to be script. Okay. Now what this is, and we'll see, oop, I have a typo there, there we go. That looks a little better. Now we'll see this in a little more detail. I won't give the full explanation here because we're going to see it in the next module that we write. But this is saying the composition is saying what order you told us what modules that you wanted to include in this module. Now what order do you want them to run? And how we refer to them in the composition section is by their ID. So these are the two values that need to match. Again, this one, it's just one, so we just have a single node there. I'll show the syntax on our next module of what that looks like when we have multiple modules. Okay, and that's our module implementation. We then have an output type. Now what the output type says, now we pretty much don't have a whole lot of choice here because we know it's going to be a property bag because that's what this module is sending out. So we know we're going to get a property bag out. This basically is a signal to any other module that wants to use this one of what its output type is. All right, so this is basically a signal back to the authoring system that's telling the modules, you know, anything else that uses it, if we were expecting another type of data, then we know to error out on the build. So it's a standard for any module that outputs data, we need to set an output type. Then the last thing for a probe is we need to say trigger only. And we're going to say true. And again, this is really just a signal to the system that this one doesn't require any incoming data. It can run with just a trigger. Okay? So this module should be good. Assuming that I have no errors here, I can go ahead and build it. All right, so far so good. So it looks like this module is good. There's really no way for us to test it yet. We really need to get a workflow in place for us to go into the MP simulator. So let's go ahead. What I'm going to do is roll this up. Now there's one little trick that I tend to do, and I'll show why I do that. When I roll this up, I personally like to roll up the XML just so I can really pay attention to what I'm working on. But you notice what Visual Studio does is when I do that, I can't really tell there the way that my naming scheme works. I really can't tell which module this one is. So I tend to, in any MP I write, I tend to just do a quick little comment on top of that one that tells me which module that is, right? And so you'll see as we start creating multiple modules here together, that can actually be quite a help to be able to scan through and find the one you want. So the next thing I want to create is that data source module that's going to wrap this one up and add a scheduler to it. Okay, now data source modules are defined before probe modules in the XML. It's just how it is, okay? And this ID, I think I already stated it before, mpauthor.stores.datasource.allqueuesstatistics.propertybag. Remember, we're going to have another returns performance data, so we're going to say property bag for this. Accessibility will be internal. Okay. And really, same thing as we did before. We're going to have a configuration section. Okay, let's go ahead and get that there so I can copy that up for... Now, first off, I'm going to have to accept that folder in, remember. If I have a rule that's going to call this this module here, I want it to provide the folder. Now, I could absolutely say I don't want to use the folder as a property here. I'm just going to hard code the actual folder path down below here when I define the modules that this one contains. But it makes a lot more sense that be defined up at the workflow level. So I'm going to accept this in as a parameter on this one as well. There are two others that I'm going to need to accept, and those are going to be, and I mentioned those on the slide, interval seconds. Now this one is an integer, okay, and sync time. And I'll talk a little bit more about those when Give me a moment when we define our modules down below. Those are parameters that we require to pass over to the scheduler module, so it knows how often to run, and I'll talk about those a little bit in a moment. Now the next thing we have is overridable parameters. Now in this case, I absolutely have a couple of parameters that I want a user to be able to override. So once I create the rule, say if I had a rule based on this module, which parameters can be overridden are defined at the module level, not at the workflow level. So if a rule was based on this data source module and I define no overridable parameters, they would not be able to override any of these. Again, I don't want them to override folder, I already talked about that, but I do want them to be able to override how often the script runs, okay? So I'm going to say I have an overridable parameter. Its ID is interval seconds, okay? That specifically refers to that one above. Selector, what this says, and this is pretty standard how we do this, is just going to be config interval seconds. And what this says is, basically it says what should the default value be. Okay, I won't get into too much more detailed description than that. And I could sit and analyze these two all day long, and this is almost always what our overridable parameters look like. We also want them to be able to override sync time. So basically I'm going to say sync time, and it's a string. Okay. So the next thing we have is our module implementation, just like we had below. This is composite. All right. Member modules. Remember, these are the ones we want to include, not necessarily in order. First, I'm going to add the data source module. Okay. Now I'm going to call this schedule, just because that's what it's doing. It's a scheduler module. And I'm going to select system. Now you notice here we have a scheduler and a simple scheduler. I'm going to take simple scheduler. What simple scheduler does is it simply takes an interval seconds and sync time, which just says run this script, say, every 10 minutes. So I'm not sure if I've talked about sync time yet, but let me do that real quick here just in case. So without a sync time, basically what's going to happen, let's say we set our interval seconds to say 360, which or say 300, which says run every 5 minutes. And so what happens is then the script will simply, it'll start up, it'll start every, start as fast as it can, it'll start running every 5 minutes. So I'm not sure if I've talked about sync time yet, but let's do that real quick here just in case. So if I don't set a sync time, and I'm not going to here, and usually we don't set a sync time, and maybe we'll set, say, an interval seconds of 300, which would say it run every 5 minutes. What'll simply happen is the agent will load up the workflow, and it'll run every 5 minutes. But then let's say I set a sync time of 10. What will then happen is the agent's going to basically look at the intervals of 10 after the hour. So instead of just starting immediately, it'll run at 10 after the hour, 15 after the hour, 20 after the hour, 25, and basically force it into those specific times. The reason that we use that is when you have a lot of different workflows running and they may be running on a very similar schedule, so you're running every 5 minutes, running every 10 minutes. What can happen is will have a tendency to all run at exactly the same time, and so you get little spikes on the agent. So what that does, you can force basically different sync times for different workflows and just make sure that they're running at different times. So, but by default, we usually don't set anything on them. Now what Simple Scheduler does, as opposed to scheduler actually will allow us to do a fairly complex schedule, like, you know, run once a day, you know, on Mondays and Wednesdays, or, you know, certain times, the whole bit, complete complexity in terms of setting a schedule. Simple Scheduler actually wraps up the scheduler module and just simply provides us those simple interval seconds and sync time, which is usually all the logic we want. I just want to run this, say, every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes. And so we have exactly the same effect if we select scheduler, but we'd be obligated to set some other parameters that we really don't care about. So simpler schedulers are a really common one that we use. All right, so I'm not going to go back and show this in the MP browser, but if you want to look, you're welcome to. Config interval seconds. I'm just going to type this out, and then I'll explain it. So then we have sync time, and that's going to be config sync time. So what I'm saying here, and again, just like I mentioned before, This module is not going to define the interval seconds or sync time. It's just going to say whatever values were passed in. I want to use that here. So this config interval seconds specifically refers to whatever value was sent in here. Okay? So that's our data source module. So we have a scheduler in this. Next thing we want is the probe action module that we just created. And I'm going to say ID script. Doesn't have to match. I can make this whatever I want. This doesn't have to match here. This is only valid within my little module here. Type ID. I'm going to select from my MP here. You notice it just fills it in because it was the only module that we have so far. So there's only one to choose from. And then, of course, what parameters am I going to need to define? I can look right here. I only have one, and it's called folder. So what I'm going to have to do here is have a parameter called folder. And of course, like I've been doing, I'm going to just take config folder. In other words, that value is going to get passed in. Okay. Eventually, we're going to get to the point where we provide an actual value into these. But this, again, is real common as we take a module, wrap another module around it, wrap another module around that, and we just keep using these config variables to pass along the different parameter values. And of course, we'll start getting, really when we get into the workflow, is typically where we're going to do that hard coding, and we'll start using full values, or we'll start using target variables. There are certainly cases that we're going to see we're going to hard code, though, right inside the modules. Okay, now this one's a little bit more interesting in the composition section. And let me just type it out, and then I'll explain it. I think that might work out a little better. So ID is going to be script. And schedule. So what this is saying here, basically, remember, these IDs, refer to these IDs. And the way this runs, basically from the inside out. Okay? So it goes to the middle to the complete inside node and then works its way out. So schedule is going to run and then script is going to run. If we had a third module, then we'd add node around this one. All right, and we'll see that actually when we get into our monitor type, we're going to see these get a little more complex. So again, the syntax is a little bit tricky, but it's pretty straightforward. It's just from the inside out, we're saying the order the modules are going to run. And the last thing we need to set is the output type. Okay, and that's going to be system, and same thing. We're going to say property bag. All right, so assuming all went well there, we should be able to compile. Oh, and looks like we have an error here. So let's go ahead and figure out where this one is. This one, we can see we failed to verify override definition. So obviously it's in our overridable parameter. And I can see there, and this is a really common issue, is just that closing dollar sign. And so actually a kind of a good thing probably that I got that, because it's just a very common typo that we tend to see. And you can see, of course, when we do the compile, you know, we usually can get right to the issue we've got pretty quickly. Okay, so that module is done. So I'm just going to do my kind of typical here. Let's put this above it. We have one more module that we need to create. Okay, and that's just, again, my little trick there so I can read. You can see then it just makes things a heck of a lot more readable. All right, so now set the next one. Now remember, this one is another data source module. And what we're going to do is wrap up that property bag module, and we want to return performance data. Okay, so we're going to say all queues statistics dot performance. Okay. Accessibility, we will also make internal. Oop. There we go. Now what I'm going to do is most of the configuration and overridable parameters are exactly the same as this one, so I'm just going to go ahead and copy those in. All right, we actually are going to add another parameter in a minute, but I'm not going to add it yet. OK, Okay. So I want to talk through some things first. So this time, let's go ahead and do module implementation, composite. Okay. Now remember, this one is first going to contain the data source module that we just created. So let's go ahead and get that one defined, get that out of the way. Data source ID, I'm just going to call this one DS for data source. Again, really common alias we use. Let's go ahead and just pick that from here. And of course it sees a couple. Of course one is the one we're creating, but we're going to take property bag. All right, and of course these here are the parameters we're going to need to provide values for down here. And as you can probably guess, these are all simply going to be config variables. Okay, so I'll say interval seconds, config slash interval seconds. I probably should have just copied these. Okay, sync time, config sync time, because again, I'm not hard coding these yet. We're really going to hard code these once we get to the actual workflow. And folder. All right. So there's that one. It's data source modules defined. That one's real straightforward. Because again, all we're doing is wrapping this up, and then we want to pass it through a condition detection to convert this to performance data. So we're really just same parameters and passing them on through using config variables. So the next one we need here is a condition detection. Okay, now for this ID, I'm going to call it map to perf. A common one that we'll use. And the type ID is going to come from my performance library. And it's something called... Sorry. Maybe cut this out. I just didn't see it right there. Okay, so let's do this again. And you can see all these, of course, condition detections in this library. And I'm going to take data generic mapper. Okay, what that means, by the way, the generic mapper means that it takes in something we call base data. So all the different data types inherit from base data. So that's what this accepts as an input. So basically it takes any data in and then outputs performance data. Now if you go look at this module in the library, you're going to see it's going to require four parameters. And first I'm just going to type these in and then we'll talk about them. Okay, object name, counter name, instance name, and value. Okay. So this is standard performance data, right? And we've talked about that before, I'm sure, back when we were doing some other performance modules. But performance data in OpsMan is defined by object, counter, instance, and value. Now here's where things get a little bit tricky for us, though, when you think about, is our property bag has multiple values coming out of it. A property bag can have multiple name value pairs. Remember, we have file count, oldest file, and total size. So those are three different, essentially, counter names. And this can only take one. All right, so basically we have one of two different choices here. One, let me go through choice number one first. Now this is not what we're actually going to end up doing. Most of it's going to be very similar though, so I don't mind walking through it, and then I'm going to show us we're going to change one thing to make it a little bit more efficient. So first off, we think the object name. And in my case, I think, well, I'm going to actually hard code this. This is not going to be a variable. Anytime somebody does performance collection, this management pack, my object name is going to be MP author stores. Of course, I can have a variety of counters coming off of it. That's just the level that I'm going to choose to do that with. And of course, you can go look at the performance tools and see how they define their object names and counter names. And this is kind of my arbitrary name that I'm going to give all my performance data as MP author stores. Counter name though, I'm going to say, remember, I'm interested in the file count. Okay, so this module right now, I'm basically saying this is my first strategy, is to make this module specific to this particular counter. Okay, so if I was going to do this, I'd say counter name is file count. Instance name, in this case, I'm not going to have an instance. Instance names in performance data is optional, and this is really only when you have multiple instances. In this case, I don't. Remember, we're just firing against the central processor here, so we just have one file count. You would have an instance name if we had, say, multiple instances that we had to tell apart, and we had a value for each one. But in this case, we don't, so we have no instance name. And then our value, this is a data variable. Remember, I think I showed this syntax earlier, but this is how we refer to a value from a property bag. Let me just type it out, and then I'll talk to it. Okay, and so basically, remember, data value variables are XPaths, and we'll actually, when we do our simulation, we're actually going to see what the data looks like, so this would be interesting. But what this says is take the property bag that's coming out and select the value called file count. All right, and if we were doing oldest file, then I just change that to oldest file there. So this module right now, this would completely work. This is totally valid. This is completely efficient. The one downside, though, is this entire module here only works for file count. So in fact, I might then go in here and say this is for file count. And then if, let's say later on, I said, hey, you know, I really need to start tracking the oldest file. So let me copy this module and I'll change this to say oldest file. And I change that to oldest file. And I change that to oldest file. That would completely be valid. Okay. The downside, of course, is that I would have more, basically require one module for each counter. And then, you know, think maybe later on, hey, I went made a modification to the script where it returns some additional value. Then I'd say, well, I need to create another module to support that new value. I'm going to take a different strategy, though. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new parameter here. And I'm going to call it counter. Now what I'm going to do is when we call this module, we're going to send in a counter name. So then down here, I'm going to change this to config counter. Okay, now we're not going to define file count in here. Up at, say, the rule or whatever module calls this one, we'll define file count there. Okay, then the one other place, and this is the one where people sometimes find this one a bit tricky. But if you look at how it's typed out, it shouldn't be too bad. If I replace this right there, so this is basically doing a variable within a variable, which, again, people sometimes get confused by. And what you have to understand, config variables get resolved first. They're basically getting resolved when we're first running, before the data is even started to pass through, when the module first gets instantiated. So when this gets instantiated, this will become data property at name equals file count. Then when the data actually flows through, then this data variable will be correct, and it will collect that particular value. Now I can create one rule that says collect the file count. I can have another rule that says collect total size. I can have another rule that says collect oldest file, and they would all use this one module and just provide in a different counter. All right, so hopefully that's reasonably straightforward. It's a strategy that you'll see used pretty frequently. And again, I could have absolutely done the other strategy where I just created a module for each of those counters. Neither one would be more efficient. The reason I like this strategy, it makes it more efficient on me as the author. Just less, fewer modules to have to deal with, and then just a bit more efficient from that standpoint. So last thing we do is we have the composition. So node, my ID, this is the one that's running second, which is mapped to perf. And node ID equals DS, okay? So that's saying first run the data source, then run map to perf. Okay, so collect up the property bag, then up to the performance data. All right, then the last thing we need is our output type. And in this case, we are now performance data. All right, so let's do a build and make sure that works. Okay, all is good. Just add my little comments. So now that we have a few here, you can kind of see why I do this. Just makes it a lot more legible, and I tend to like things rolled up like that. I just find that particularly clean. So now if we wanted to stay in the working with the XML and the modules and all that, then we could go create our monitor type. But instead of that, why don't we go ahead? I think we've had enough XML for a few minutes. Let's actually see something work, right? So let's go ahead and create our rule now. Once we get our rule created, then we can do a simulation with it, okay? And so we can actually see this run, and we can see, basically watch all of our modules in action. So what I'm gonna do is add template. I'm gonna do rule, let's do custom. Okay, and I actually could do a performance rule there. Let's go ahead and do custom now that we understand our modules, and I can kind of talk through what the different templates do here. So let's do, apologies, just getting confused here. There we go. Okay. So the ID of this rule is going to be rule.centralProcessor. Collect all queue entries. I could say file count, something like that. That's just what I'll choose. This target's going to be central processor. Okay. Now our data source ID. Okay, we can see our two here. Remember, I'm going to take the performance one. And of course, there's data source ID. See, now you start to even, hopefully as we're talking through these things, you're seeing some things, different properties that we haven't really talked to. You see condition detection up here. You see this data source ID here. These are all getting translated to XML as well when we're working in the templates. And all that XML looks really similar to the XML we're working with. So hopefully some of these things that might have been a little bit mysterious before are starting to make a little bit of sense. Okay, so now we set our configuration here. And this is looking at, this is for our data source module, and these are the parameters that we defined. We defined in interval seconds. I'm gonna run this every 2 minutes. Again, you wouldn't do that in production, but I'm just doing this in test environment. Sync time, I'm gonna leave that blank. I'm gonna specify it, but I don't have to provide a value for it because Simple Scheduler doesn't require one. I've got folder. Now I'm just gonna copy this in so you don't have to watch me type and possibly make a typo. But we've seen target variables before. I'm not gonna sit here and go into too much detail about it, but remember we have this property QPath on our central processor. That's what our target is, and so we're just gonna take that that discovered value and pass it in as that parameter. Of course, that's going to get passed through all those config variables and then eventually passed right into the script. And there's that new counter that we created, and that I'm going to put file count. Now, obviously, what this requires, when I create the rule, I need to understand, basically, I need to understand from the script itself what it's returning. In other words, if that script, let me go ahead and hit OK here, but if that file count that I just typed in refers to that value right there. Because when the script run, it's what's creating the property bag. It's providing the name for those properties that are included in it. So that's what my file count that I just typed in refers to. Let's go back here. I have a couple other things I need to provide here. Okay. Let's see, a display name. It's going to be, I'm going to say collect all queue entries. Well, that's probably bad. Really, it's collect all queue entry count, I guess I should say. And I believe the last thing we need to set here are the write actions. Now, we haven't had to set write actions before, and I could have absolutely taken the template for performance rule. If I had selected performance rule, what it would do is it would only offer me the data sources that return performance data. And ours does, so it would have shown up there. And all I would have gotten was a checkbox that says, do you want to save that to the data warehouse and to the SCOM database? And essentially what would happen is it would do for me what I'm doing right now. So I just thought it'd be interesting, though, to do it do it myself here just so you can kind of see what that looks like and see what's happening under the covers. So my first one I'm going to call write to DB. Again, arbitrary, but that one makes some sense there. So I'll say collect performance data. This is collect performance data that writes to the OpsMan database. I'm going to take a second one, and I'm going to call that write to DW, which is the data warehouse. So for that one, I'm going to say publish. And data warehouse publish performance data. Those require no input to them. There's really no configuration to do for those. Remember, if we pass in performance data, those are going to write to the databases. So that's all they do. All right, so again, we could have really saved ourselves a bit of work by using the performance template. We said create new rule instead of create custom rule, but I really wanted to just show that just so now that we're starting to get into modules, so you can kind of see a little more of what's going on with the write actions. But we should be good there. So let's go ahead and compile this, and assuming all goes well, we can test it. One little problem there. All that said is this category here is we forgot to provide one, so we're going to do performance collection. Okay, and then we should compile. All right, so now what we want to do is run this in the simulator, and the simulator is actually going to be really interesting now because we're going to be able to, now that we understand all the modules, and we can really see some interesting things. So let's go ahead, start that up. There it is. In fact, we can see the XML that got generated for us by our template. There's our write to DB and write to DW. This always takes a little bit to get this to run, so let's go ahead and cut that out. Okay, so here we are. All right, so we've already seen the simulator before, but let me kind of talk through it a little bit. We saw it for discovery before. And of course, when you run it, you may not have things filled out just because I had already run it for this, and so it remembers the values that I selected. But let me tell you what, let's do this, because this is probably more what yours is going to look like. So first off, we have our target expressions, and this is everywhere that a target variable is used. Now you may look at this and say, wait a minute, I don't remember typing in target ID and management group ID. Those are actually used under the covers by those write action modules. Okay, and so those are GUIDs that'll get filled in for us. We don't care what they are for simulating, so we just send them a new GUID. Okay, here it's what you're going to see when you do performance collection. And then we need a path to the queues. Remember when we did the script a couple lessons ago, I showed that I had a little folder, dummy folder structure there under MP store queues that I'm using for my testing. Then we have our overridable parameters. All right, so on this rule, remember it's using that data source module. The data source module specified interval seconds and sync time as the values that it would allow to be overridden. So we can change those here. This won't be too interesting here. When we do our monitors and we start seeing threshold under there, then it's going to be real interesting. So let's go ahead and start the simulation. Okay, so I'm going to stop here. If I don't stop it, it's just going to run every 2 minutes. So this appears to be working well, though. But let's walk along this. So again, when we did our data source module or our discovery modules several lessons ago, I probably skipped over some things because we really weren't ready to talk about them yet. But this is what's interesting is this is not just giving us a final value. We're actually seeing each of the modules run. So the first thing we see run is that scheduler module, which is sending a trigger. Okay, now you can see there's the trigger really has no data with it. Just a couple of IDs in there, but you can see here is system trigger data. Then what gets fired is our module that runs the script. And remember, it returns property bag data. So we see here are the values that we had. Let's see if I can spread that out a little bit that we can see the XML properly. And we can see our three properties there that were in our property bag. File count, oldest file, title, total size, and those are the values for those. All right. Also see that on the line here, just kind of in shorter format. But when we use that data variable, or data property at name equals, if you understand how XPaths work and took this little chunk of XML, what that data variable was is essentially an XPath to this value right here. Okay. The next thing that runs is our data source module that converts that to performance data. Right, so that gets passed through. So here it is in property bag form. Then we get it. Remember, we said MP author stores. We would just use our object name for everything. Counter name is file count, and a value of 40. Okay, and that, so that's this value here mapped in to performance data. These two values we basically threw away. Those certainly could get used in other rules and other modules that we might use, or if we just created another rule, said we wanted to collect oldest file, then that's the value we'd select out of there. All right, but you can see it's fairly interesting though to walk through and see trigger, data property bag, and then performance. The last thing we see is the write to DB. We actually don't see the publish to data warehouse. I won't specify why. But this is where we see it actually converted to a little bit of a different data type. This is system performance data, and this is just the format that we need it specifically written into the OpsSpan database. And you can see what we take with it is the ID of the rule and of the target object. And that's really just for tracking for Ops Manager purposes. Okay, so we can see here our rules working, our modules are working. Hopefully you can see here the real value when we get into the simulator and you start running your own modules. What'll happen is, you know, maybe if we were broken here, we had a problem with our performance module, you might see us run up to here and then get nothing. All right, or if you got a value differently than you thought, you'd see exactly where that happened, because we don't just get a final answer here, but we can actually step along and see each of the modules, which is actually really, really interesting. And so now, the last thing we want to do is let's go ahead and create our monitor type, and then we'll put a monitor on top of that. And then what we'll do is we'll come back in here, and again, this is very interesting because with a monitor, we're typically looking for multiple different health states. And so based on different values, are we going to be a healthy state or a warning state? And that's also something the simulator can be really interesting to help us out with. Let's go ahead and create that now. Now, monitor types are very similar to modules in that they contain other modules, they have parameters, they have composition. Most of the sections that we already saw in the modules, we're going to see in the monitor type. But they also have additional logic in them. We have to define health states, for example, and plus they're going to have, remember, a workflow for each of their health states. Plus we have on-demand detection and regular detection. So we actually are going to end up typically with more modules and more pieces of logic, basically more workflows in them that we're going to have to define. But really, the basic logic is really quite similar. So let's go ahead and build this one. So these are going to go in a section called monitor types. Okay, and we're just going to create one for now. It's a unit monitor type, and its ID is going to be mpauthor.stores.monitorType.allQueues. Statistics. Basically, this monitor type is going to work for multiple different counters. Okay, just like we did, like we defined our modules. Okay. So the first thing that we define in a monitor type, instead of the configuration, are the monitor type states. All right, and basically what we're going to do here is we're going to define a three-state monitor. Okay, so our first state, we have to give it an ID, and this ID is unique only within the monitor type. So I'm going to say over, let's start with under threshold. Okay? Remember, this is a performance monitor, so we're looking at some numeric value here. So what that no detection false means, remember when we specified back a few lessons ago, we created a monitor that did not have a success state. In other words, or we didn't define the logic to set the success state. I think it was the error event. So where the event caused the monitor to go to a critical state, but then we had to manually go and reset it. So what this no detection false here means is that if this was a health state, we're going to set manually. In other words, it was not going to use any detection. We would set that to true. All of ours are going to be false because we're going to define logic for each of them. But if you went and looked at the monitor type underneath that event one that we created, then you'd see that it was doing a no detection true. The next one we're going to set is over warning threshold, and then we're going to have an over error threshold. Basically, what we're saying there is this is a piece of performance data. Does it come underneath? And we're going to set two thresholds so that we have a healthy condition if it comes underneath the one threshold, a warning condition where it comes between the other two thresholds, and then a critical condition where it's over the top threshold. All right. Then we have our configuration section. Should come as no surprise that that's going to be very similar to this one here. Okay, so I'm just going to copy those. Same basic modules we're going to include. We're actually going to be using property bag here instead of the performance, as I mentioned before, but we're going to have to specify that counter for our monitor, basically telling it which value that we want to pick out. We're also going to have to add another couple of values here, which is our warning threshold and error threshold. Now, if this was just a two state, we'd probably just call it threshold. But since it's a three state, we need two thresholds, which are warning and error. Those are integer values, so those are numeric values that we're going to compare ours to. All right. So the next thing we want to define, let's go ahead and do a copy again, which are the overridable parameters. Okay, now we're going to have to add a couple of other here as well. Let me copy that one because they're integers. We certainly want the user to be able to override their warning threshold. Whoops. Dollar sign. And their error threshold. Okay, so again, I'm not sitting here explaining all these in detail because I think we've gone over them, but obviously we want the user to be able to create an override for the thresholds. And then we're going to define our implementation, which is going to include our member modules. Now remember, we're not specifying an order here. Now before we kind of were specifying the order, just kind of by accident the way it worked out. This time we definitely won't be. I mean, basically what we're doing is saying, here are all the modules that we need to use. All right, so the first one should be obvious. We need a data source module. Okay, and tell you what, I'm going to grab this one because this is basically what we're going to add, which is we want that property bag. All right, same. The same config variables, we have interval, second, sync time, and folder, and that's just calling our data source that we created that's going to run the script and create a property bag, okay? We could have used the performance one, we could have used this one, and looked at performance data, that would have been just fine. Just kind of wanted to show off how we can use the different ones here, which is the only reason I decided to select the property bag. It'd really be pretty similar between these two. Now there's another one that I want to use, which is our probe action module. Now the reason I want to use this one, I'm going to call this ID probe. And let me just get it typed in and then I'll explain this why I want to use this one. Okay, it's our only probe module. And all it has is folder. Remember, just to remind us, let's go back and look at our probe here. And we can see that it just has that one parameter. So that's the one that we use here. Now the reason we want our probe in this, remember, I said that we have regular detection, which uses a data source module, which in this case, it's gonna run every few minutes and collect up that data and see if we've exceeded threshold. But we can also support on-demand detection, which is if the user selects the option to recalculate health. And what that will do is immediately kick off the workflow. In our case, immediately run our script and then compare the threshold that comes back. Now, in order to do that, we can't use a data source in on-demand detection. We need to have a probe. Okay, and so remember, our probe is started by a trigger, which the data source is being provided by the schedule. When we do that recalculate health, essentially what we're doing is we're sending the trigger that's going to start the probe. Okay, so we want that module too for those workflows. Now the other one we need is something to compare those threshold values. Okay, and for that, we need a condition detection. And remember, we're going to need to do this three times. So I'm going to call this filter under threshold. This is going to be the condition detection that checks for the healthy state. Okay, so it's type ID. Now this is one that we have actually used quite a bit, which is system expression filter. We probably didn't see it by specifically calling the module, but everywhere we've been doing conditions where we were specifying the event number of an event we were interested in, we were specifying a particular performance counter we wanted. All of those are using the system expression filter. In this case, we're just going to be using it explicitly. I think we've seen all the logic in those and kind of expression, simple expression, all that sort of thing. What I'm going to do is copy this in. And again, this can get a little bit tricky probably, just getting all this XML correct, especially when we don't have IntelliSense in this part of the MP fragment. But again, these are things that you'll typically do a copy and paste on. Really, the things to be careful of here are the difference between an XPath query, where we're essentially saying, go out and look up this particular value in the data that comes back. Remember, we already talked about this data variable. This is the equivalent. Remember, we're in the expression filter, so we don't use this data property on the front, but that's exactly the same variable that we specified in the performance module up here. Let's just make sure we know what we're talking about. This is exactly the same thing. Just when we're using the expression filter, we don't have to specify data, dollar data. Okay? So what we're saying is go and look up that value and then compare it to this one. That's why this is value and this is XPath query. Okay, and that's very, very standard for the first part of the expression, the second part of the expression. The other thing to have a look at here is I've used a type integer. That's something to really, the type is optional, but really pretty important to use when we're doing these, so you make sure we're actually comparing at a numeric level. Sometimes you can run into some strange behavior because what you think is a number we're actually treating like text, and so obviously the comparison is going to be different. So this is a very good best practice to include that type integer in there. And in this case, we're saying if it's less than or equal. In other words, if the value that comes back out of our property bag for the file count, we'll specify file count in a bit. If that is under the warning threshold, then that is going to denote the healthy condition. Okay. I'm going to copy that, and I'm going to do the error. I'm not going to do the over warning yet. I'm going to do the over error first, and I'll show why that is in a moment. May want to cut this out. Sorry, I just had to expand some things. Apologies. Okay. All right, so this one is going to be greater or equal to the error threshold. Okay? So one is, let's change this to, we'll call this over error threshold. So under threshold is under the warning threshold. Over threshold is over the error threshold. We're going to need another one in the middle here, which should come as no great surprise. This is going to be over warning threshold. Now for this, we're actually going to need two conditions. Okay, so let's take our first condition here, which is going to be, so in this case, we're going to say that it's greater than the warning threshold. Okay, you always have to keep in mind the equal. So in this case, we're saying less than or equal to goes under, and then it has to be greater than for the warning. The other is make sure this doesn't say less and greater, because if it actually equals the threshold, then we'd have no value to set. Then I'm going to take this expression. Okay. Copy that. And I'm going to say and it's less than the error threshold. Now, in order to use those two together, I do need to specify an and condition. And should be set right there. Okay. So I realize there's a lot of XML going on there. But hopefully if you don't get caught up, and hopefully I didn't make a typo, and we'll find out obviously when I compile. But hopefully if you don't get too caught up in the XML here, the logic should actually make complete sense here. I basically have a data source module and a probe. I'm going to use one of those depending on whether I'm doing regular detection or on-demand detection. And now I have one condition for each of my potential health states. Okay, now we certainly have a little bit more work to do because we have to provide what the composition is going to be for these, as well as line them up with the particular health states. Okay, just because we call it over error threshold doesn't necessarily mean that it relates to the error or to the critical health state yet. Okay. So the next thing we have here are regular detections, and what this is asking for are each, basically give me the composition for each of the regular detection health states. So we're going to need three of these in here, okay? So the monitor type state ID for this, so these are what we defined above for our health states. So first I'm going to say the detection for under threshold. Okay, and remember this is the same type of composition we saw before. I'm going to say node ID equals, we're going to say under threshold, and node ID is DS. Yep. Okay, so what this is saying, let's kind of explain this out a little bit. For the under threshold health state, this under threshold here specifically relates to this under threshold up here because that's what we called it. We're going to first run the data source module and then the filter under threshold. If this is true, then this is the health state that's going to be set. If it's not, then obviously that workflow will stop there. So let's do the next one, regular detection. Type state ID. This one's going to be over warning threshold. Okay, node ID equals. We're going to say filter over warning threshold. Okay. Same thing, just for that other health state, and then now let's go ahead and type it out. Obviously, I could do a copy-paste there, but I kind of like doing the IntelliSense really just to drive home what we're doing. Over error threshold, node ID is filter over error threshold, and node ID equals DS. Okay, so there are regular detections. All right, so really why monitor types, when you open them up in Imagine Pack, can look pretty daunting just because you see there's a whole lot of XML, and if I expand this out, in fact, I'm going to roll it up just to make it look a little bit less daunting, it can seem pretty confused because there's just a lot there. And certainly the syntax, certainly through here, can get a little bit tricky, but the logic is really quite straightforward. Okay, so the next thing we need to do is provide our on-demand detection. And this really is exactly the same as we've just done with one obvious critical difference to it. So on-demand detections. Okay, state ID, I'm going to start with under threshold. Node ID equals under threshold. And here's where our big difference comes in. It's in the beginning. IntelliSense on that middle one, but it's no big And the difference is we're going to run the probe, okay, rather than the data source. So what I'm going to do, because these are identical, I'm just going to copy those two because I'm getting a little bit tired of typing. And I'm just going to change these to probe because they're absolutely identical. Just the difference is we're running the probe instead of the data source. And of course, as we know from our our modules, those are running the same script. Our data source is wrapping up our probe anyway, so we're really running the same thing. Just seeing what error I have there. I think that's just a blue that's lingering around a little bit, but certainly if we have... Oh, you know what? I do have an issue there, don't I? I'm sorry. I've got regular detection in there, and this should be on-demand detection, so I guess that is another critical difference. So just so you can tell, gives it a little reality to this. You can tell I'm not going off a complete script here. And I think it's fairly interesting as well, just to see the kind of errors that we get and just the experience with the authoring extensions. So this actually is, assuming that we did this all correctly, we should have a working monitor type now. So let's verify that, and we'll do a build and see if we have any issues. Okay, we have something, so let's have a look. Okay, so it looks like I had a bit of an error here. My apologies for that. In the and condition detection. So let me just have a look at what I was copying from. Okay, so we had an error with that. What I'll do is there was a little bit of a difference. I'm just going to go ahead and complete this out. And then what I'll do is we'll add another, obviously cut this part out. And then I'm going to add just another little section where I did the warning expression. I'll just go back and redo that one. If we can just kind of slap that over the other one, should be fairly straightforward. So, okay. So let's. Sorry. Okay. I'll do the recompile in here. All right. So let's go ahead and build this and make sure we don't have any issues with it. Okay. We look good. So now we can go back and create a monitor on this. All right, so you can see all the complexity is in here, right? The monitor type has all the modules, all the logic, what the health states are, etc. And of course, I'm going to do my monitor type. All right, and that'll just make our life a little bit easier when we come back to this stuff. All right, so let's go ahead and build our monitor for this one. Okay, so we can go back to our template group, and I'll just add it right into here. So I'm going to do add a template. I'm going to say unit monitor. Okay, so our target for this, remember, is central processor, same thing as our rule. Monitor type. We can see there's the monitor type that we built. Okay. Parent monitor ID, where do we want this to go? I'm going to go under performance, kind of makes sense under there. Okay, and we've talked about all this stuff till now. Let's go ahead and set our ID and display name, and then we'll kind of do some other interesting stuff. So the monitor, I'm going to call central processor dot all queue entries. And I'll call this queue entries. Remember, this is the display name that's going to show up in the Health Explorer. Okay, so next thing we need to look at here are the operational states. Now remember, these are the states that we set earlier. We set under threshold, over warning, and over error. Now what we don't have the ability to do in the monitor type is actually say, we described it, but we didn't specifically map those to health states. That's done at the monitor level. And the reason for that, think I may have another counter that comes out of there. And in this case, this counter, a high value is typically bad. Our healthy state are the lower values. We might have another counter that's completely reversed. So I might have I'd probably call things a little bit different. In this case, I always call it over error threshold. But I might give that a little name like an over threshold or something as simple as that. Over threshold might be healthy state for another counter, right? So this is where we actually map these. We say under threshold, in our case is healthy, over warning goes to a warning, okay? But that's why the monitor type defines the different, essentially, health describes these three workflows, then we line them up with the specific health states in the monitor itself. So let's do the configuration for the monitor. And this is just kind of like our rule when we are typing those in for our data source module. Interval seconds, 2 minutes. Don't do that in production. No sync time. Folder, again, I'm going to do a copy-paste. You can feel free to do a copy-paste from the rule that we created. It's exactly the same one. Counter, we already talked about that. It's file count. Now we need a warning threshold and error threshold. Okay. In our case, what did I have? Let's see, we had 40 when I was testing earlier. So why don't I make my warning threshold, let's make it now say 30 and 50. That way we go right for the complex warning state as our first test, which is maybe a, we'll see how that works out. But what's interesting is you see in the simulator we can change these values and verify that all of our different health states are working correctly. Okay, so let's just have a look through the rest of this, see what else we might need. Category, I'd probably call that performance health. In which case, let's go ahead, let's say, yep, we want to alert on a state. I'll just alert on error, I want to alert on warning. We'll match the monitor alert name, will be excessive, let's see, queue entry count exceeded threshold. Okay, I won't bother. I'll tell you what, let's just do it. I'll just do a quick description here. We've already seen how we can do variables in the alert description. I think this lesson's already probably long enough as it is. And I'll make that public. I think we forgot to make our rule public, so that'd really be a good practice to go back and change that. And believe we have all that correct. Let's go ahead and do a build, and assuming this is all good, then we can simulate it. Okay. So now let's go ahead and play with this one. Okay, so here we are. And again, we've been through this several times, so I don't think I need to talk through it too much. Add our folder we're gonna look at. And then we can see here's our error threshold and our warning threshold, kind of separated just because this is alphabetical. And if I remember right, our value is 40, so hopefully we'll get a warning on this one. Okay, so let's start this. Okay, sure enough, we did get a warning. But let me talk through this so we understand what it is we're looking at. So like we saw before, when we were doing our rule, there's our data source module runs, and that's our scheduler, fires the trigger. There's our property bag data that comes back. And here we have each of the three condition detections that ran. Now exactly as we would expect, over threshold, resolved to false because our value is 40, as we can see there, file count is 40. We're coming in between 30 and 50, we expect a warning. This would have been resolved to over 50. That's false, so we get nothing that flows through, so that health state is not set. Exactly the same thing with under threshold. That resolved to false, so that's not set. Over warning threshold, that does come through, so that health state gets set. And you see that we don't modify this data at all. The way the condition detection, the expression condition detection works is simply says, here's a criteria. If this criteria is true, just pass through whatever data came in. It doesn't attempt to make any modification on the data at all. And so the way that a monitor type will work is whatever health state, whatever of those workflows actually sees data come through, that's the health state that gets set. But let's double check this a little bit more. I don't have to go, I could go and create some more files or delete files, something like that, but let's just make our life easy. Let's just say the error threshold's 35. Okay, keep the warning the same. What we would expect here is now our error threshold is exceeded and we get an error state. Okay, sure enough, there's our error threshold, good. And just to close things out, make sure we're really doing well, let's say 60 is our error and say 50 is our warning. And let's just make sure that we indeed get a healthy state. Sure enough, there's our filter under threshold. So there we go. Now, obviously, the last thing to do would be to install this into our management group. I'll actually hold out by far, I'm sure, the longest lesson that we've done so far, so I think we've probably come far enough. Obviously, I'll get this installed, And in the next lesson, we start talking about cookdown. So obviously, last thing we need to do is install this. And we've already come through a pretty long lesson here, but let's just take a couple minutes. Let's get this installed. Let's actually have a look at the management group. Okay, so here we are installed, and actually this is kind of fun. Looks like we already had enough files in there that I actually exceeded the error state, so that's actually makes it a lot more interesting. So let's have a look here. Here's the monitor that we just installed. So we're over error threshold. Sure enough, remember we set the threshold value, I believe it was 40. Well, let's have a look here at the monitor properties. Okay, obviously our file count's 90. If I look under configuration, there's a few things to show here. First off, we look at the configuration. All we're looking at here, this is the monitor configuration, right? Remember, this is exactly that XML we put in there. We gave it an error warning threshold 30, error threshold of 50. All that monitor type and modules and scripts and all that complexity is completely hidden. That's something the user is not going to see. This right here is about the most complexity that they're going to see for all that we built. We have all that good, rich functionality, but this is all the user needs to worry about. Okay, now what's interesting, if we look at the data that came back, when a monitor basically gets the property bag back, we see everything that came out of the property bag. So we see that oldest file and total size. Even though we didn't use them, that was the data. Remember when we set those the three different workflows with the three different thresholds on them, the data that came through was a property bag. And so the way the Health Explorer works here is it essentially shows us what was in the data that set the particular state that we're looking at. In this case, we set the error state. That's the property bag it was looking at. So you can actually include a significant amount of other information in that property bag. Even if we don't use it in our criteria, it can still come through where the user can see it. So that's actually very interesting. Just to complete this and kind of show one more thing that we've been working at, let's look at the overrides. So if I create an override for this, remember we talked about overridable parameters, and there's a couple of points that maybe I should have made earlier, but I'll certainly make now. Now here are the ones that we set: error threshold, interval seconds, sync time, and warning threshold, right? So if the user wants, they could say, I don't want this to run every 2 minutes. They can run it something else. And this is all standard operations manager. But notice all these others that came in here. And I said parameters are only overridable to the user if you specify. And that's very true on the specific parameters for your monitor types and your modules. But there are some things that are always going to be there. For a monitor, first off, for every single workflow, you're going to have an enabled where they can override it to true or false. And for a monitor, they're always going to be able to override all of the alert settings. Should it generate an alert, yes or no? What state should it generate it on? What do we want to do auto resolve? It will start with the values that we set. Those are essentially the defaults. But the user is always going to be able to override those. And you notice nowhere in the monitor type did we specify that, and nowhere in the monitor type can we turn that off. All right, that's something that's always going to be available to the user to do. So in any event, pretty long lesson there. Hopefully you made it all the way through that one, but that's a ton of information in there. And if you really think of all that we went through there in terms of building the modules and the monitor types, building scripts, testing them, if you really take a step back and look at that, this really is the heart of Operations Manager. I mean, there's just an enormous amount of monitoring that you can do with what we've gone through in this lesson, as well as looking the last lesson we talked about modules and workflows, and the one before that we talked about scripts. This is just my one simple example here, but if you take and think of all the different scripts that you can run, all the different systems you can access with PowerShell, all the different logic that we can build here with all of our modules and the different types of modules and the whole bit, just an enormous amount of different monitoring. And if you go through all the management packs now, the library MPs, the MPs that you get from Microsoft and other vendors, you really should now be able to read those and actually tell to some extent what logic they're performing. And what you're going to find is a big amount of the entire MP is going to look very, very similar to everything we just built.